This is where smart business conversations meet real-world experience, where strategies are shared, lessons are learned, and ideas come to life. I'm Emily Galindo, and you're watching Biz Talk, your destination for real insight from the mind shaping tomorrow's business world. Only on Now Media Television.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and we are excited to have you today. We are here on Biz Talk talking about all things business and how to take your business to the next level, learn from our experts about sales, strategies, marketing, any type of thing that's going to make your business thrive and succeed in the community. So we are excited to have our guest today, Erin Paulman, who is a health insurance advisor with Paulman Insurance, and she is here to tell us about something that is very important to everybody, which is taking care of themselves, their health, and their family's health, and being able to do that in a fiscally responsible, in a way that actually makes sense. And then if you are a business owner, how that can actually translate to tax saving opportunities and ways to attract high, you know, lots of great employees. So welcome, Erin. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned on the lead-in, this is a complicated topic, but an important one.
Yes, I mean, and it's something that so many people, you know, try to go online and shop, and it's really very frustrating because this is not something that you can go online and you can just, you know, pop a quote and have something insured like 10 minutes later. You need a person that reviews your specifics.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've all, I think, had the experience of having plan A, plan B, plan C as options. And if you are a corporate employee, but if you are a small business owner, how do we even start to have that conversation? How do we even know what to offer or who to talk to? And then what options do we have available? And then more importantly, I think most business owners are going to probably say, and how much does it cost me?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's really, you know, most people go out and they shop and they look for a plan and they get a quote and they're like, oh God, that's just way too expensive. Most people are not, you know, who they're calling broker-wise. They're offering a box, right? And what we do is we look at, like, where's your business today? Do you have employees? Are you offering insurance? We can look it up and tailor something, you know, specific to you, not, you know, a box where you have to fit in it. It's more, you know, where are you at? What's going to work for your business? What are your goals? Is your goal to just, you know, give them X amount of dollars every month and go shop for insurance? Or is it like, I want to make sure they have a specific type of insurance? So those are all questions that we start off with, you know, when we start the process to determine what's going to be the best fit.
Is there a way because you're an independent broker, so is there a way to offer a multitude of tailored solutions? Like maybe the business owner wants the best of the best, and then they want to do something different for like this level of employee, and or here's the offering, you can take it or leave it. Like, what kind of, can you make it that unique for every employee?
Most businesses are shopping because they're, you know, key person, the owner wants insurance, they want something great. The good news is, you know, they can have whatever plan they have in their mind, you know, whatever they're looking for, we can tailor it to their family. Let's say they have both part-time and full-time employees. There's things out there that we can actually shop for that it's like, okay, you know, we're willing to contribute 50% or X amount of dollars towards that coverage. We can do that. They can decide, like, I'm not going to pay for, you know, these other things, like that's up to my employee. So it's very like specific on where they are right now. It doesn't have to be that box. But we always want to make sure we take care of the key person first. Usually they're the ones who are shopping and they just look at covering their employees as like a bonus, basically. We can put them in all different types of plans to where, you know, if I have specific medications and needs, we can factor that in without it impacting you.
Right. Is there a way to, is there a difference to then like an individual? So yes, he's the key person, right? Or she is shopping for individual insurance as the person or versus being a business owner. Is there a difference in the insurance market?
So, I mean, there's individual policies and there's group policies. What you're going to fit in is going to depend on where you're at with your business. Some You know, policies are going to require you to contribute 50%. They're going to require that you have so many employees that actually participate. When we look at other types of policies, it may be like they don't have any participation requirements. So it's like we gather the information about the actual business owner, what their goals are, what their needs are. What is their budget? Have they even considered that? How much they want to contribute to each person? And then we form a plan based around that is, you know, what direction they're going to go in. But we help them figure out what's the right route where based on where they are. You know, if they know next year they, you know, might have 60 employees, we're not going to probably set them up individually because we know they're going to be going in a different direction. We want to look at what's best for them, like in the short term and the long term.
Okay. And the, you had mentioned before that, we're on the topic of the group versus the individual. I have heard, I would love for you to dispel this myth or prove it, that there are options of, like, ultimately, I think what it is providing individual insurance policies for each person, but then the business owner can contribute. But then if the employee were to leave, that employee can also take that coverage with them as their policy.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, that's a benefit to your company. I mean, we don't want your employees to leave, but you also, you know, when they do leave, it is their policy. We just take it from the business owner, you know, paying for it every month, and we transfer it to the person who's leaving. I mean, it's very simple.
So the employee doesn't have to be without coverage.
They don't have to have.
They don't go on Cobra. They don't, like, they just get to.
Exactly. They always have something, you know. Now whether they want to pay for the full price is completely up to them, but they have the option. They don't have to be without something just because they've left a position. It also follows them everywhere, so they have coverage everywhere they go.
I would think that would be an attractive thing when we've got applicants considering to apply to your company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most people, they get a job based on what? Salary? Benefits. I mean, it's kind of the really big thing. And when you want to attract top people, that's one of the things they're looking for is they want coverage. That's very important to them. And they don't want to wait like, you know, 90 days before they get it. They want something that they can put in place. So we can help with that too. There's no like waiting periods for any of those types of enrollments. You can start right away.
Okay. And you had mentioned earlier about tax savings and versus the individual versus the business. Can you share a little bit about how that
works? So when we're looking at like subsidies, basically those are tax benefits you're getting as an individual when your income is between, you know, a certain amount. Well, business owners, as they start making more money, now they're trying to keep their income, you know, under that threshold so they get, you know, these subsidized benefits. But eventually, you know, your income is going to go up. That's when we take it from like individual income and we can actually put it under your business to where now you can start writing off your policy as a tax benefit and a tax advantage, specifically, you know, to be able to write off expenses. When you're a husband and wife owned business owner, especially, those are most of the people that are coming to us. They don't usually have employees, but there's still benefits for them to be able to write off those expenses to where, you know, now we're not trying to keep things low over here in our income. We're putting it under their business and they're getting some advantages that way.
Okay. And that's a huge, I think, add-on for all of our viewers who are looking at those types of things. I also see, and we've heard from the audience that, you know, some business owners have been in business for a long time. They get to 65. Now they're on Medicare, but their spouse is not. And that seems to be a pretty common at the
very, very common. Yeah. So, I mean, typically people that are, you know, their husband's going to Medicare, they're going to stay on their COBRA. Maybe they're like 61 or 62, and that's not going to get them all the way, you know, to Medicare. I say, look, now start shopping while you're in that COBRA period. You already are probably paying quite a bit for your COBRA because it's usually the most expensive option. But you know, looking at it now versus later is, you know, if you're healthy now, that's the perfect time to be shopping for insurance. There's plans that give you, you know, discounts for being healthy. There are plans that actually put you on bigger networks because you're healthy. So it just depends.
And I've heard you also talk about plans that if you shop now when you're healthy, that you can get qualified and stay on that policy for a long-term period of time.
That's the benefit. I mean, there's people retiring in their mid-50s these days. Well, what do you do for that huge chunk of time? Because I guarantee when your COBRA ends, you're going to go out to the marketplace. And usually they have a higher income, so they're not getting those subsidies. And they're like, oh my gosh, like $1,700 for insurance is insane. And that's where we can help. And we look at it as a big picture. It's like, we're not going to move you in one direction or the other. You just have to know like pros and cons. There's pros and cons of every policy. Understanding how they relate to like your health, your needs. That's where we come in.
So we've got a few minutes left before we got to go to a commercial break. So is it possible for somebody who owns a small business to get health insurance and provide health insurance for their employees at an affordable place?
Absolutely.
I think that's a myth that most small business owners believe. They can't.
Affordable is a moving target, right? So we also have to talk like realistic. What's realistic for, you know, your group? Do you have a group of like 25 to 30 year olds, or are you, you know, do you have a large group of like 60, you know, 55, 60 year olds? That's going to be a whole different version of what affordable is. But having the conversation usually gives them a better idea of like, what's possible, what's out there, so they can decide like what's affordable for their business. You know, is it giving them X amount of dollars every month, or is it a percentage, or are they willing to cover the full cost of their employees? I mean, it just really depends. Getting that number to them usually helps them figure out where they're going to go.
For sure. And then also gives them a tax benefit.
Absolutely.
I mean, they can take that to their CPA and they can figure out, is it going to pay us off someplace else down the road, maybe?
Right. Yeah. I mean, especially with employees that have been there longer term, you know, yes, it has to be a benefit in some way or another, because now they've got benefits. You're seeing tax advantages through your business, and you're not going to have to retrain someone new just because they're out there looking for other things.
All right. Well, we're going to go to commercial, but before we do, tell everybody if you have more questions and want to talk to Erin about this very complicated topic and how it can maybe benefit the business, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah. So easiest way is to text me. Anytime you call or text me, you're getting me directly. You can reach me at 832-786-1308. You can also go to my website and request a quote, erinpaumanhealthinsurance.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for dispelling some of those myths today and chatting with us and helping our viewers understand a little bit more about group benefits and how they can take advantage. So stick around, guys. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll be right back with our next expert to help you take your business to the next level.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Emily Galindo, and if you're just now joining us, we are here talking about all things business to make sure that you get the most effective information from some amazing experts across the country. And we started the show at the top of the hour talking about the back end of providing benefits and how to help support employees. And for the rest of the show, we are going to dive into some of what I consider the most important part of business, or at least one of the most important parts of business, which is marketing and driving in that business. As it turns out, you don't just open your doors and business comes to you. As we all, I think, as you get into business, you realize that's not the case. And our expert who's here with us today, Evan Chi, is a three-time founder whose 20-year career spans Oracle, Sony, Hello Kitty, and Bank of America. He now leads Regenesis.io, a platform that boosts LinkedIn influence and automates outreach so businesses, especially real estate pros, can capitalize and grow without having to do that drowning in the busyness of the marketing of online marketing. So Evan lives at the intersection of AI and authentic connection, and he's here to show us how technology can amplify, not complicate, your marketing solution. So welcome, Evan. We're excited to have you.
Hello, Emily. Thank you. Glad to be here.
You bet. And so, well, I want to dive right in because as a marketing expert myself, I've got 15 years in sales and marketing solutions. And even today, I am still constantly in my own business overwhelmed with marketing and how complicated it can be and all of the different solutions that are available out there. And so help me understand, why do I feel that way? Why is everybody overwhelmed by the concept of marketing?
Because there are tons of different channels you can market through, and each of those channels has sometimes a pretty steep learning curve. So whether that's, you know, from your, you know, outreach sequence to, you know, a graphic or a video, that best represents your brand. So it's lots of channels, and you know, the messaging yourself can be really tricky. So there's a lot of pitfalls that people can fall into. But you know, with a few best practices, and with there are a number of really cool tools that are available now, I mean, a lot of that time and effort can be alleviated.
And that would be lovely, which is, I mean, we at the top of the segment, we talked about your intersection of AI and authenticity. So I think, you know, as consumers, we're getting inundated by what we know is automated robots that isn't a real person. So how can AI, I mean, at its core, it does simplify and give us time back, but how can we simplify those campaigns without losing that personal touch?
Yeah, so I think everything, while we have really cool tools to do some amazing things, I think that at the core of everything, the kind of the most important thing is still kind of building that brand. So if you have that in mind, you know, building the brand first and having everything kind of like as a piece of the puzzle to build that brand, that's really where we need to start. So thinking about, you know, our socials and thinking about, you know, perception, how we want to be perceived. I think there's a big difference in kind of like what the company does and how we perceive ourselves, and then how the brand should be perceived or how we would like it to be perceived by the public's eye. So I think first you need to nail that piece. And if you can get that, then it's really about awareness. And awareness is usually the most challenging piece to all businesses. Because it's difficult, it's expensive, and people aren't really good at it. So it all starts with a good brand. And then once you have that brand, once you have that brand message and strategy down, then you can kind of add in the other kind of components to put the message out there. And usually those foundational components for brands and businesses in the beginning, you know, start with social media, especially if you're a professional today, it's usually LinkedIn first. And then from there, you can add in tools to help your outreach. For instance, you can do outreach automation. There's a lot of really cool tools these days that can help you generate videos and all kinds of graphical content. There's also kind of like going into email. And so that's kind of like the next level of outreach. So, you know, LinkedIn limits you to the amount of outreach you can do, how many people you can connect with on a weekly or monthly basis. But with email, you can kind of scale that up, and you can kind of scale that up with really no cap, depending on what you're trying to do. That could be anywhere from 500, you know, emails a day to 25,000 emails a day, just kind of depending on, you know, how you want to set things up. And then beyond that, you know, we can go into paid advertisements and influencer marketing, and there's really like no limit to the way we can get the word out these days.
Right. Getting your word out there, I think, is one thing. I think possibly like getting heard, right, and seen is another one. So how do you give an example of like real estate agents? I know that you specialize in working with them. Very crowded space. I'm here in Houston. I think there's something like 16,000 real estate agents or something like that. What is an AI tool that you would recommend or strategy that you would recommend that they could implement today? Something very low entry, right? They could implement today to maybe help them stand out in a crowded space like that.
Yeah. I mean, really, again, I think it's always going to be brand first, you know, because like anything else, you know, I can work with anybody in the business that I want to or in any business. And typically people want to work with other individuals that we like or that we respect. And so building that brand, whether that's for the agency or for you personally, that's usually the most kind of compelling thing, especially if you're in a hyper-located market like Houston. It's really easy to make sure that, you know, you're kind of like in the right places, in front of the right eyeballs. So everything that we do is always going to be brand first. Now, when we talk about brand, there's a lot of kind of tools that can go and create you tons of content for any kind of niche or sector you're in. That doesn't necessarily bring about the authenticity piece, right? So that's kind of more just kind of like getting content out there. The authenticity piece really comes, again, with making sure that awareness piece is solved. So you need to have that compelling brand, and then you need a way to solve That awareness piece. And really, like in my mind, there's only two real ways of solving that awareness piece. And that's going to be organic or paid. So, you know, with paid ads and paid advertising, that's usually the route that most brands go because that's just what's available to them. You're going to pay a certain amount of money. You're going to target a certain type of person. And you're going to be able to get your message in front of these types of people as long as you're paying. Right, so it's pay to play. You pay X amount, you'll be able to get in front of X amount of people. The other way to do that is with a tool like ours, which is like a post booster. So that's essentially an alternative to paid advertisement, except it's organic. So when it's organic, it means it doesn't say sponsored or promoted ad on it. It means that it's going to come directly from your page, and it's going to hit all of your followers in an organic way. So those are the kind of two ways to do it. One is kind of a paid and sponsored way. And the other way is through organic content. And of course, we have a tool to basically help your organic content with reach and engagement. I believe that we have one of the only tools that are out there that do this. And that is our AI-driven post booster.
Okay, so I want to expand on that a little bit, just because we understand the difference, the paid versus organic. If I were to hire you to come work for us, what would that look like? What are some things that I would be looking to expect? And you said it's one of the only tools that does this. Expand a little bit more about what that is.
So let's say we all agree that content is king. So, you know, a lot of people want to adopt a content strategy, especially new brands or personal brands. And so the solution to that is to start posting, right? And you start posting in hopes of going viral, making sure that we're getting in front of lots and lots of people, lots and lots of eyeballs on the brand, that's which solves awareness. It's really hard for new profiles to get any reach at all. There's something on LinkedIn called your SSI score. It's your social selling index. And everyone on LinkedIn has this score, and it's usually based on four pillars. And those four pillars are typically engagement pillars. And so what we need to kind of do is look at the algorithm and how people engage or how content becomes viral. So if we're able to kind of go and reverse engineer and unlock some of those keys, that's how we're able to kind of get content to consistently go viral to make sure that the awareness piece is solved. And we do that through a few different ways. So we have a tool, it's called Post Booster. And the components to Post Booster are kind of interesting. So it's kind of part what we call engagement pod, which is a number of individuals kind of like coming around to make sure that they engage on content. The other part of that is, you know, we have a number of very large pages. So we have pages with, you know, over 500,000 followers, you know, over 250,000 newsletter subscribers. And so we have a number of these pages that we're able to come in and kind of like help boost content through comments and reposting and stuff like that. We do that, and we also add in a lot of safety features, etc. And so that in itself is what we call a post booster. Again, it's just an alternative to paid advertising that you could do on anyone's profile.
Well, that is very intriguing, because I know that we as consumers have been trained kind of to see the sponsored post, you know, titling and things like that. Like, we were aware of what pay-per-click ads are at the top of Google, things like that, that as consumers, we get used to seeing and understand the difference. And so would love to dive more in with you about learning more about how you can help us. This has been a great start already. Very interesting. We're about to go to commercial break, though. So if viewers want to get a hold of you to talk to you more about this amazing tool that you guys offer, how can they reach out to you?
The easiest way is to probably find me on LinkedIn. The name is Evan Chi, EvanChi. Or you can also email us at regenesys.io, regenesys.io.
Wonderful. Great start, Evan. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We are just getting started. Stick around, and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Biz Talk or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of this show right on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. For business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Biz Talk. I am still your host, Emily Galindo, and if you are just now joining us, we are here with Evan Chi of Regenesis.io, and he has been shedding some amazing perspective and unique light on all things marketing, specifically using AI and automation on platforms such as LinkedIn to really stand out and build your brand as a business professional. And so we are going to dive right back in with Evan. So Evan, I want to take a turn here for just a minute and kind of hyper focus on LinkedIn specifically. It can be a really great tool. I don't think that we in the marketing world have really leveraged or figured out a way to leverage to its full capacity. Would you agree with me on that? Aside from you, because you guys do it so great, but I mean, in the general sense, would you think that we don't capitalize on the opportunity there as best we could?
Well, LinkedIn has its place in the universe. You know, it's probably not for every brand, especially if you're like a super lifestyle brand or, you know, a soda or something like that. But it definitely has its place in the universe. It's definitely the home of, I would say, professionals and kind of definitely everything under the sun, technology and most industry. So it's a good kind of platform to kind of point at and say, look, you know, this is what we've done. This is why you can trust everything else that you see out there in the social media universe. So I would say it's a really good anchor. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of platforms where you now see a lot of like AI creators out there. That's not something you'll be able to see on LinkedIn. You know, it's one of the platforms like Meta where, you know, every account or profile is going to be tied to a human being, can be tied to a real verified identification. And so, you know, it's definitely going to kind of like not be as noisy as some of these other platforms that have allowed like AI content creators.
Understood. Yeah. I mean, we at this point, I think as a society, have kind of don't know what's real and what's not, or what's created by AI and what hasn't. But I don't get that feeling just yet on the LinkedIn platform, like you just described. Why do you think that LinkedIn can be uniquely powerful for some of those other industries that, you know, like the business to business professionals, the professional services and things like that? Why is LinkedIn uniquely qualified to help us boost our brand there?
Because all of the important people that you would need in that universe all live on LinkedIn, and they all find value there. They're all doing something there. And so that's where their eyeballs are. That's where the attention of these specific individuals that are important to the future of your business, that's where they mostly reside. So if you need a tech partner to help you build something, if you need an agency to help you do something, if you're looking for a consultant to ask some questions, everyone is there on LinkedIn. You'll be able to find anyone there. And you, not only that, but you know, you'll be able to find extremely high quality people there where you can kind of dig in to what they've accomplished in their life instead of just seeing some ad that says Billy Bob has done ABC. You'll be able to really go in, dig deeply, and understand whether or not that this individual is the right person for the job.
How, using the AI tool, maybe not to create the content, but is there a tool that you're aware of or that you guys offer that helps create those contacts? I mean, I think that some people, right, if you only know so many people and you need to know a lot more people, like how do you start to build that contact list to be able to reach out to some of those high quality people?
There's really two ways to do that. So the first way is through our app, and we do that through our automated outreach app. And so essentially what we're doing is we're targeting those specific people that are going to be important in our industry, whether they're going to be a future client of mine, or if I'm looking for an investor in something, if I'm looking for a strategic partnership, what I can do is I can use LinkedIn Sales Navigator. I can go ahead and create a target list and then have an automated outreach campaign go out to that list. So what it'll do is it'll send a connection request to this person who I know is important to my business. And then once they've accepted that connection request, it'll then go ahead and engage them in a conversation. And in that conversation, we're typically trying to qualify them as a prospect, trying to introduce some our products and services, and then ultimately get them to book a phone call with us. And so that happens across LinkedIn, and then we also do that across email. The beautiful part about that is once they've accepted your connection request, whether or not they respond to the LinkedIn campaign, whether or not they respond to the email campaign, over time, they're still dropped into your followers. And so over time, they'll still be able to see your content, your top of funnel, your middle funnel, and your bottom of funnel content. So they will still basically be able to understand your brand, exactly what you do over time. And maybe they're not ready to make a purchase today, or they're not ready to engage with you today. Maybe but months down the line, after they've kind of like been inspired by your content, then they can go ahead and reach out at that point. So it's really this system to build this funnel around the brand that we create on LinkedIn. That's really what we're doing.
Okay, I'm following you, but for our viewers, could you give me like a real world example of a client that you work with that has used this and had success on LinkedIn and what that would look like in the real world?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's really brand growth. So it's every metric on LinkedIn that is being tracked, we will boost. Essentially your engagement, your reach, your impressions, how many people have viewed your profile, how many times LinkedIn recommends your profile when certain keywords are being keyed in. So it's really growth across all of these metrics with the goal of making people aware of your brand and then building trust in that brand. And then hopefully ultimately getting people to understand and make a move to engage with your brand, really. So it's really taking everything trackable in LinkedIn and blowing it up.
Very nice. That sounds exciting. With every great thing, there typically is there's the balance, is there some downfalls or pitfalls, obstacles that we can encounter. So what are some obstacles of using automation? I know that for myself, I've used it and right, the pathway is not correct, or messages go unanswered, or they're answering the wrong messaging system. What are some other things that we should be aware of or that can happen in this automation process?
That's really kind of like the main challenge, is making sure that the brand is authentic and being able to elicit responses. So everything that you do needs to be geared to optimize kind of two things. Number one is making sure that people accept your connection requests. And then number two, making sure that people are responding to your message, right? So this is automation. This is like basically a system. So it's the challenge is always, what words are we going to put in what sequence in order to get this goal, right? So that usually takes some optimization for every brand. So it takes some time. We need to build the brand a little bit. We need to make some mistakes. We need to see what's not working and what is working. But ultimately, it's testing and data. So if you have about a 3-month window where you can kind of allow to do a lot of testing and get the data and really understand your targets, your messaging and everything, usually at that point, you should be in a place that you're pretty comfortable where everything that you're doing is going to be able to get some kind of result.
So in that, before we go to commercial break, I would love for you to give us an expert free tidbit if you would be so kind. But in that 3-month window, as you're playing and getting that feedback and trying to figure out what to do, what is something like, how do you save an opportunity, right? A message goes unanswered or it comes across wrong. Like, how can we recover from that and possibly save the conversation?
Yeah, so there's probably a number of different ways, but I would say the most effective way, again, I'm going to go back to being brand first, right? So if your brand is such that people want to engage with you, if you're like an Alex Hormozi and people are just listening to your stuff and it's really valuable to people, that's always going to be the stickiest brand. So if you build a brand first, you'll find that a lot of your message won't go unresponded to. In fact, you'll get more and more inbound that you're not even looking for, right? Because of the brand, because of that awareness. So it's always brand first. And then all the automations and the email and all that stuff, those are kind of foundational pieces that you can add into anything with the understanding that you're just going to need some time to kind of dial it in. But if you're able to do that, which most people are given enough time, then again, that's kind of like foundational for everyone. The thing that's going to separate one from the other is that brand, right? And the ability to do that branding, an ability to go viral on a consistent basis, getting as much eyeballs as possible. That's always going to be the difference maker, that brand.
Fantastic piece of advice. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think we get real lost on trying to generate the leads and generate the activity and say something interesting to create that opportunity. But if you start with the foundation, they tend to come to you. So thank you so much. If people wanted to come out, talk more with you about maybe helping them with that brand development, how could they get a hold of you before we go to commercial?
Find me on LinkedIn, Evan Chi, EvanChi. Happy to help.
Wonderful. Perfect. And stick around, guys. We have an amazing expert today who's giving us a lot of knowledge. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We are just getting started. Stick around and we'll be right back with more lessons, insights, and behind-the-scenes stories from the people driving real business forward. You're watching Biz Talk, only on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Emily Galindo, and this is Biz Talk on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into the conversations that move business forward.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're just now joining us, I'm Emily Galindo, and we've been having an amazing conversation with Evan Chi of Regenesis. He has had 20 years with big brands, helping them go from the daily grind of hours input to profitability and making them automated and streamlined. And so we've been covering lots of topics about a lot of marketing and LinkedIn solutions. And so I would love, Evan, to just dive right into the automation side of the business, right? There's the marketing side, which is great, but can Regenesis help us, or automation and AI in general, help us with repetitive tasks that are just drain sucks on our time?
Definitely. And then that's the kind of like the one of the most wonderful things about this whole thing is automation. It's really giving back so much time to so many individuals. Like, so if you're not doing the automations, you should definitely do it. We're an automation agency, so we build all kinds of custom automations. So it really makes our life easy. Like everything from like onboarding to, you know, CRM stuff, to your outbound and sales stuff, cold outreach, etc., can all be automated. So if that's something that you haven't been doing, there's so many cool like no code tools that you can use out there. The one that we really like is Make. It's super simple, like drag and drop. You can literally like go in there and automate everything. If you need help with automation, you know, you can definitely find all kinds of automation experts on Fiverr and the other sites. So it's definitely a real thing. I think it's a little bit confused sometimes with AI. Like AI is, you know, kind of like the LLMs and the generative stuff. And I think oftentimes people get confused with AI and automation. Automation it's a little bit different than AI, although it does kind of incorporate some of the AI tools. It's really just automation. It's really just kind of connecting a bunch of APIs together and making sure that everyone's connected, all the programs are talking to each other. For us internally, it saves us probably 40 or 50 hours per week currently. And we foresee that to grow as we build out our next set of tools. So yeah, if you're not doing it, definitely there's so many no code drag and drop tools that you can use today to just basically save yourself a lot of time.
In your experience, when you work with a client, what is typically the first area that you automate that makes the biggest impact on the business in terms of time or profitability?
Definitely the sales outreach is the first automation that usually people want to build. Beyond that, I would say onboarding, billing, anything that has to do with CRM, and usually like some internal processes, like, we have the marketing team meeting at this time. We have, the sales meeting at this time. We have the operation meeting at this time. And basically, like, you can automate all of that stuff. It can go and create all of your meetings for you. It can invite the right people at the right times. You can literally automate every little single bit of your business that you can think of.
I would say at least some of the clients I've worked with or spoken with and consulted with over the years that the thing about automation setup is that I don't have the time to set up the automation that's going to save me the time on the back end. So, what are your thoughts on that?
It's true. The effort is front loaded. You're going to spend some time and lose some hair and some sleep in the beginning. While they're easy to kind of drag and drop, kind of like dialing them in can be kind of tricky. Like, so the automations do break. And so you kind of want to be on top of them, and just basically kind of like take some time in the beginning to dial them in. The challenge isn't usually like figuring out the flow of an automation. The challenge is usually like something simple, like, oh man, I forgot the password to this app, so I can't get it connected to my automation. So, the challenges are usually kind of silly. But if you can take the time to go ahead and go do that, you have all of your passwords ready to go, then it's actually it can be quite easy, actually.
Would you say that that might be an advantage to working with a company like yours, is that I don't have that kind of time to set it up? Even the drag and drop things that you had mentioned on Make, but then I've got to go back in and make sure that it's operating correctly, and maybe I don't have time for that, and that's where some of that gets broken. And if you're not going to front load the time, then you front load some of the money to a company like yourself, yes?
Exactly. I mean, there's so many cool things to do, but they all take time and effort and some kind of know-how. So we offer kind of like a DIY SaaS version of almost everything that we do, including Post Booster. People can just go and schedule it, create their own post, and we boost it. The automation app, we can just give it to you. You can create all of your own kind of campaigns. We definitely offer kind of like all of the SaaS DIY stuff for the people who don't mind spending the time, people who are a little bit more technical, and maybe they have some teammates that can kind of help them. But certainly we have, I would say more than 50% of our clients, they come to us because they are doing something interesting and they don't have the time to do some of this stuff. So they come to us and we build it and we manage it for them. So yeah, either which way.
Wonderful. So give me a story of, can you tell me about a share client that doesn't have to be their name, but that went through a full automation process with you and kind of what the before and after of that experience for them?
Oh yeah. I mean, we've done automation for all kinds of cool companies like, Aflac, like HP. We're pretty good at kind of coming in and understanding exactly what's going on. A lot of the people that we work with are, say, high net worth individuals who really are really trying to build a brand, or they kind of want the Alex Hormozi kind of like passive income streams. So maybe they're looking to build a presence, and then they're kind of looking to build a system to essentially kind of sell their products and services that's automated, right? So we do this with for a lot of people. I would say, like, for instance, like the biggest piece of content that we had, like, last year to this year, we did on LinkedIn 48 million impressions on one LinkedIn post. I think that's pretty amazing if you compare that to, a Super Bowl ad and the cost of a Super Bowl ad.
Sure.
The value is really tremendous, 48 million impressions. We've also have clients currently right now where we're booking 30 to 50 appointments for them every month. And it's just like boom, 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 boom. So, I would say that like most brands can get there if they're willing to kind of spend the time and the brain juice to really go out and really think about how they want to be perceived in the public and really have a strategic plan to kind of like talk about all the cool stuff that they're doing and then how to make a conversion off of that. Really, it's really the system of how are you actually going to generate this goal, not just kind of like vanity metrics, et cetera, et cetera. That's really kind of having that overarching plan to say, okay, I'm doing this, this, and this because ultimately I need to achieve this by this time, right? So I think like it's really like making sure that that brand has the I would say the forethought, the time, the budget, money and time wise to be able to go and think about their brand and really do this the right way. If you do that, this can really work for any personal or brand. I haven't seen anyone that this doesn't work for, given enough time.
So, just out of curiosity, Evan, the 30 to 50 appointments, what industry is that person in?
So they are a consultant, speaker, author, and to be honest, they have a really they and they have a podcast. So they've got quite a real they have a cool universe of stuff going on there. And not just that, but that particular individual has a very cool story. So they kind of have like they're checking like a whole bunch of the boxes like right
The
away,
branding
where
boxes,
we
yeah.
didn't have to come in and build it. It was there, it existed already.
Okay, I was just curious in case one of our viewers was in that industry and the 48 million impressions on LinkedIn, what was that post about?
Sustainability,
Oh, business sustainability? Or
environmental
environmental.
sustainability.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'm just out of curiosity, what I was wondering what was playing out there. So, Evan, if people are ready to automate their business and want to dive into this and get some of that time back for themselves, how can they get a hold of you?
Find me on LinkedIn or shoot me an email at evan@regenesis.io.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Evan. This has been a really very interesting and insightful conversation with you today, and appreciate you being here.
It's
Guys,
been a
thank
pleasure,
you.
Emily. Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for tuning in with us today. We are going to wrap things up, but I mean, we have covered a span of things that can make a huge impact on your business, that can give you time back, get your brand more exposure, and provide a really amazing opportunity for places for people to work and grow and thrive in their families. So, thank you all for being here. Have a wonderful week. We will see you next time. To our BizTalk audience, remember, technology is a tool, not a replacement for human connection. Use AI to amplify your authenticity, not mask it. Start small, maybe an automated follow-up sequence or one AI-assisted post, and measure the impact. If you take anything away from today, let it be this: consistency plus smart systems equals exponential growth. Don't let fear or complexity keep you from the efficiencies that can transform your business. I'm Emily Galindo, and this has been BizTalk. Thank you for spending part of your day with me, and keep learning, keep connecting, and as always, keep your business moving forward.